Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation, an application to our daily faith life, is found recorded in the book of Psalms, Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So far, so in text. Christ Jesus, our Savior, for whom we give thanks to God the Father, dear fellow redeemed. In our gospel reading last Sunday, we heard of 10 lepers who cried out to Jesus, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And we were told that Jesus miraculously healed those 10 lepers as they were making their way to the priest. But then we were told that only one of them came back to give thanks to Jesus for this healing gift. And Jesus asked, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? That scripture reading reminds us that we also so very often forget to give thanks to God for all the bountiful blessings that we receive every single day of our lives. But when we do give God thanks, what do we thank him for? Very often in my confirmation class, I ask the confirmands to write a list of things for which they are thankful. And they, most of them, include Jesus, forgiveness of sins, everlasting life, heaven. But it's interesting, they don't all list those as the first things for which they're thankful. It's interesting what they put as number 1 and 2. So what would your list of thanksgiving be? What would be the top of your list? Well, this morning in our text, David encourages us to remember the most important things that God has done for us, and the first and foremost things for which we are to be thankful. Our theme this morning is, David offers up thanks to God, first, for the forgiveness of sins, second, for the redemption of our souls, third, for the good things in our life. This coming Thursday, many people are going to be giving thanks to God. But for some of them, their thanksgiving, their thanks, is going to be empty and useless. Because if they don't list Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior on that list of being thankful for, in other words, if they don't believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then their thanks is empty. It's useless. In fact, it won't even be heard by God. Just like Cain's offering to God. God said he'd accept his offering. It wasn't given from a heart of faith. Just like that Pharisee who stood in the front of the temple and bragged to God about all that he had done. God said he didn't accept that offering. It didn't come from a repentant heart of a believing child of God. And so David is really writing this psalm for himself. He knows that there's nothing in the soul of man that is more apt to be forgotten than to give thanks, especially to give thanks to God. For giving thanks is not a natural function of people. Because of our sinful, selfish flesh, it needs to be taught, learned, aroused, and prompted. How many of us as children remember our parents saying to us when someone did something or gave something to us, now what do you say? Or maybe as parents we said the same thing to our children. And so after coaching and learning, we realized that when someone does something for us or someone gives us something, we should show our appreciation by saying, thank you. The same thing goes for God. We know that God gives us his grace, his mercy, his kindness, his love. He showered upon us many, many blessings beyond our comprehension. We indeed believe that he is merciful and gracious to us. Giving thanks to God should be as natural and as ordinary as breathing, eating, sleeping. But because of our selfish natures, it isn't always that way. And so David has to remind himself to give thanks. And so he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." The word bless means to invoke great praise, celebration, and adoration to God on bended knee. And three times, David uses the word bless in those first two verses. He's reminding himself, his whole body, mind, body, soul, heart, hands, voices, all of his faculties, don't forget to bow down and give thanks to God for all of his benefits, for all of his mercies. The word benefits means actions, deeds, works, all that he has done for us. In this psalm, now that David has reminded himself to not forget to give thanks, he now enumerates the things for which he's thankful to God. And the first is the most important: forgiveness of sins. He writes, "Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." That is the greatest blessing of mankind. This blessing is unlike any other blessing ever given by God. Because this blessing is for everybody, and it is forever. The gift of life is given to all who are born, but it doesn't last forever. The gift of hearing, sight, speech is given to many, but not to everybody. This gift of forgiveness is given to every single person in the world, for Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for every single soul ever conceived in the history of time, from the beginning of time to the end of time. And it was done once to last forever. That's why David rightfully lists as the first thing for which we are to be thankful: forgiveness of sins. The second half of the verse is kind of a repeat of the first, as very often happens in the Psalms. There's parallelism. He says, "Who heals all your diseases." He's not talking about physical diseases here. He's talking about the disease of sin that we have in our heart. For the word heal means to mend, to restore, to make perfect. The Lord Jesus Christ, our sin-blackened hearts, through his shed blood, have become white. White like snow. Pure in God's sight. You know what that's called? Justification. God, as a judge, sits up here, looks at the world, and then looks at his Son, and takes all of our sins, lays them on his Son. He sees what his Son has done, paid for them in full, first with a perfect life, then with his death upon the cross, and then he rose from the dead, and he says to all of us, not guilty, innocent, righteous in Christ. Imagine that. We sinful, corrupt, rebellious people, in God's eyes, are perfect, righteous. It's almost too good to be true. But it is true. Because of our sins, we deserved and we were headed for the gallows of eternal death in hell and damnation. But now we've been pardoned. We've been forgiven because Christ took our place. A lifetime of continuous praise and thanksgiving is not enough to repay in thanks all of God's love for us. David continues, verse 4, "Who redeems your life from destruction." David gives thanks for the redemption of our souls. Because of sin, we were captured and owned lock, stock, and barrel by Satan, even as he owns the unbelievers of the world today. But Jesus came into the world to set us free, to redeem us, to buy us back, not from Satan. He didn't pay to Satan. His payment was made to God, to God's justice, so that his death paid for our sins. The cost, not gold or silver, his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. He redeemed us from sin, death, Satan, and hell by paying that judgment price to his heavenly Father so that we should indeed have cause for rejoicing and thanksgiving and praising God every single moment of every single day. As the hymn writer says, Christ, the life of all the living, Christ, the death of death, our foe, who thyself for me once giving to the death of darkest depths of woe, through thy suffering, death, and merit, I eternal life inherit. Thousand thanks shall be, dearest Jesus, unto thee. And then David lists in the last two verses the third reason for us to give thanks. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle's. Two very striking pictures we see here that David is drawing for us. He's likening these innumerable blessings we get to having crowns placed upon our head and our mouths filled with good food. That's what our life is like. We're like kings. We receive blessings every day. So many we can't even count them. And every day we're receiving the good food of God's blessings to keep us content and satisfied every day of our lives. How amazing is that? James says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. And these aren't just given to you and me as believers in Christ. The Lord showers us upon even the heathen, even the unbelievers, we're told in Matthew. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. And in Psalm 145, David writes, the eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. God has provided bountifully for our bodies, also for our souls, and we have the Lord's assurance that that will continue until the end of time. In Genesis, God promises us, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. And then finally, in the last few verses of our sermon text, David compares the renewing of our good gifts day after day after day from God with the annual molting of the eagle. After a year, the wings and feathers of the eagle are dirty, worn, old, some broken, and then, like a miracle, the eagle molts, and his wings are renewed. So he once again is able to fly high in the sky above this earth. And so the Lord says, we are continually renewed. We're continually refreshed with his mercy, with his grace, with his blessings, so that we too can be refreshed like the eagle to fly high above the problems, the sorrows, the griefs, the temptations of this life. We began November by saying, let's make this month a month of thanksgiving. This month has been a month of thanksgiving, but let us strive to make the rest of this year, next year, and the rest of our life a time in which we will be aware of and thankful for all the many, many blessings, all the many benefits, works, deeds that God has done for us and given to us. And remembering the most important, far above anything else, is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who through his perfect life, suffering, death, and resurrection, earned for us the forgiveness of all of our sins, redeemed us and assures us of a home in heaven. Let us never tire of giving thanks to God, because God never tires of giving us blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. And so we close this morning's sermon with that familiar Thanksgiving prayer. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.